Let's stand and join in singing the gospel in one word. Lord of the universe, living and eternal God, Master and Creator, Mother and Father of this and every moment, pour out your Spirit on our service today and teach us to open our minds and open our hearts. Touch us all deeply with your love and send us home changed. We pray this in your most holy threefold name, Transcendent Father, Omnipresent Son, and Immanent Holy Spirit. Amen.
Good morning. Welcome to the Church of Conscious Harmony. There is an insert in your bulletin, and it's going to give you an update of all the current and upcoming events, so be sure to take that home with you. If you would misplace it, you might also look online. If you're like me, you probably need a written hard copy and a digital copy. Also, in our insert, there is today's song that we'll be singing during the community song, so you may want to look at that so that you'll know the words and can sing freely at that time. Please join us this evening, Tuesday evening at 7:30 for Gurdjieff music. And I'm sure that Susan has some special Christmas music picked out. Yep. It's fabulous. For those of you who have been here for it, it's Susan and sometimes others play Gurdjieff music, which is fabulous. It's holy music, and it's not so much for entertainment to really, but to bring us deeper into the Spirit. And it is amazing. I sit here so many times thinking, I get to hear this. So if you're busy during this Christmas season, you may want to just do that to get a breath of fresh air. Also, our annual Christmas program, The Glorious Impossible, will be held Thursday evening, get this, at 7. Everything at the Church of Conscious Harmony starts at 7:30 so that we will know what time it starts. Except The Glorious Impossible, which always starts at 7. Make a note of that. If you've seen The Glorious Impossible before, well, that's good, but you've not seen this one. It's different every time because the cast is different and the sets are different. But it's also, it's like the Gospels. Have you noticed that they keep repeating over and over again? But we're to come to them as fresh bread. Even though they're familiar, each time we meet them, we're new. So this is a wonderful opportunity to drop into the Christmas spirit. And that, for me, it's usually when Christmas begins. My heart gets massaged and broken open a little bit. So be here at 7. Bring friends if you would like. And enjoy the glorious impossible. There's an insert in your bulletin if you would like to submit a work group proposal, and that deadline is tomorrow. So if that's you, please read the insert. Hyped is our youth group is selling their 2016 calendars, and that's appropriate. We're starting a new year, but also this is a fundraiser for their Lama pilgrimage in June. And they thank you for your support. It will also be available in the bookstore. We got a new house, or another house, at Cedar Break for our January retreat. So that means that there are now a few places open for the January retreat. If you haven't signed up, now would be a good time. It's a wonderful way to start the year, to stop and remember who our sponsor is and to be loved on for a few minutes and or a few days. If this is your first time here at the Church of Conscious Harmony and you would like to find out a little bit more about what's happening here, there's a table on the other side of the bridge. Just stop and talk with someone that's there, and they'll give you something to take home and read, and we can enter into a dialogue. Well, today is our third Sunday of Advent. Gaudete, I believe it is. It's a Latin term which means rejoice. And today we light a pink candle, and pink, of course, is the color of love, and that's why we're rejoicing, because God loves us unconditionally and His help is on the way. So please join me as we read the scripture from Isaiah. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who have dwelt in the land of gloom, for those who have dwelt in the land of gloom, a light has shone. You have brought them abundant joy and great rejoicing as they rejoice before you at the harvest, as people make merry when dividing spoils. For a child is born to us, a son is given us, and upon his shoulder dominion rests. They name him Wonder, Counselor, God, Hero, Father, Forever, Prince of Peace. His dominion is vast and forever peaceful, both now and forever. Please join me in prayer. Lord God, let your blessing come upon us as we light the candles of this wreath. May the wreath and its light be a sign of Christ's promise to bring us salvation. May he come quickly and not delay. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. And now, as Corva lights the third candle, you might join in a time of your own prayer for this Advent season.
I studied my line this year. But we'll pretend we haven't heard this yet. Pasen, come in. Yes. Thank you. Heaven and nature have been singing this morning. I heard angels all since the first song. Wow, what a way to start the couple weeks before Christmas. Now, Barb and I have been urging people for these 20 years, I guess, since we've had the Glorious Impossible, and trying to, you know, shield it up to talk about the Glorious Impossible. You're probably tired of hearing us talk about it. I am. But I would like to invite two or three of you to tell us your impressions of the Glorious Impossible and why you would suggest to someone to see it. Who wants to share? Let's get three volunteers here. Oh, nobody in this room has seen... Yes.
Lotus. Well, I know that the first time I saw it, it was just to have all different parts of the church participating, from tiny kids to adults that looked like they were just having so much fun. And the next year, I decided to be in it, and it was even more fun. So I encourage y'all to do it next year.
Beautiful.
And come see it.
Hand the mic right behind you to Lori.
For me, it's in the title, The Glorious Impossible. Mm-hmm. For us, it may seem impossible. For God, nothing is impossible. And the years that I participated in it directly, that was always the case, because the rehearsals are very few, and it's a lot of kids and a lot of pieces to come together. And it always, always did. And then every time I sit in the audience and watch it, it touches me in a new way and helps to remind me that just let go of that little part of myself that thinks that I have to do everything and thinks that I can do everything, and just to know that for God, everything is possible.
Yeah. Okay, has anybody on this side of the room seen it? Yes, JC. JC did one of our wonderful Herods one year, and I've been warming up to him ever since, but I don't know.
Well,
stand
I've...
up and show your Herod self. Former Herod.
Bring him to me so that I may worship him. Thank you. I've had the opportunity to play lots of different roles in it, and I found out that if you tell Don Hale no 10 times, he'll finally accept it. So I've been able to not be in it last year, and I got to watch the rest of my family be in it, which was really amazing. But the moment that keeps coming back to me was the year that many of you remember Doug Sanders, and Doug was towards the end of his life. We hadn't seen him around church in a while, and somehow Don got him to play the old man at the temple. Yes, Simeon. And I remember being backstage and getting to sort of hang out quietly with Doug. And then the moment where he came out onto the stage, you heard the whole place just go, it was amazing. It was a breathtaking moment, and probably my favorite moment from all the years that I've been in, around that production.
And of course, Simeon's line is, now that I've seen the salvation of the Lord coming, I can die. And Doug died shortly thereafter. Please, Joel.
I had the privilege more than once to take the part of Simeon. You remember Rob Saunders died shortly after. His cancer took him. And then Adam played the part, and his heart gave out. And I knew, this is it. Oh, Lord, let thy servant depart. I got a couple of months, maybe. That was years ago. I'm doing better. Oh, look, Anna.
Yeah.
A light unto the world.
Yeah.
And the glory of Israel.
Yeah. Yeah, there was some concern after the second person that paid sin. But it looks like it's been safe for the last several years. I want to begin with reading something today, very short from Archbishop Romero, who gave his life because he stood for the gospel. And this is one of those people that fear couldn't terrorize because he knew the reality of the situation. And we'll probably do better with this if I can see it. No one can celebrate a genuine Christmas without being truly poor. The self-sufficient, the proud, those who have because they have everything, look down on others. Those who have no need even of God, for them there will be no Christmas. Only the poor, the hungry, those who need someone to come on their behalf will have that someone. That someone is God, Emmanuel, God with us. Without poverty of spirit, there can be no abundance of God. So the call of the season, of course, is to become the people of God, to allow that which was born in Bethlehem to save humanity from exteriorization of their lives, that wants to come into us. And the trick, of course, is to celebrate it in the exterior, in the world we see with our senses, without forgetting that the whole point of it is an internal change, an internal birth, a change in our consciousness, from being contained in the events of the world, from being caught in them, being unable to realize that that's life all right, but it's with a small L, capital L life. Our life, the only life, is internal. Life is invisible. We can't see it. And so when we're called on to be poor, when we're called on to be helpless and to need help, we're called on to realize reality. We have to have God's help. We do have God's help every single second, because He who came is the one yet to come and is the one who is here. He's with us always, even to the end of time. And our job is to stay alert to His presence first, before anything else. And then from the steadiness and centeredness of that realization, to move toward our world with compassion, with kindness, and with the realization that it's not a figure of speech to say that we are one. Not at all. It's the reality of the situation. And we're becoming more and more profoundly aware of that as the news reports reach us of changes in the world, in the climate, in the political circumstances, in the economic circumstances. Everything has always and only been changing, but in our time it has become clear and apparent that these changes are for us to greet in some way. So how are we going to meet them? John the Baptist was in a similar situation at the time that the Romans were occupying Palestine, Israel. And today's readings in the liturgy are from Luke, from the third chapter, and starting with the 10th verse. "What should we do then?" said the crowd. Okay, aren't we all kind of wondering, what are we going to do? How are we going to meet this? So in some way, we're very much like the people who occupied Palestine at the time of Jesus. That John the Baptist was out in the wilderness offering them a voice that didn't come from the city, didn't come from the establishment, didn't come from current events, didn't come from cultural consciousness. He was standing outside of all that, speaking to the people who understood that there's nothing they can do by themselves. So he says, the crowds said then, "What should we do then?" the crowds asked. And John answered, "The man with two tunics should share with one who has none, and the one who has food should do the same." The tax collectors also came to be baptized. "Teacher," they asked, "what should we do?" "Don't collect any more than you are required to," he told them. Then some soldiers asked him, "What should we do?" He replied, "Don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay." The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might be possibly the Christ. John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I am unworthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." And with many other words, John exhorted the people and preached the good news to them. So unquenchable fire, good news. What is this talking about? I was raised where if you get thrown into the unquenchable fire, hey, you had your chances. But now let's listen to Eugene Peterson's take on this. This is from The Message. I'll just read the end of it. The interest of the people by now was building. They were all beginning to wonder, could this be John the Messiah? But John answered, "I'm baptizing you here in a river. The main character in this drama, to whom I'm a mere stagehand, will ignite the kingdom life, a fire, the Holy Spirit within you, changing you from the inside out. He's going to clean house, make a clean sweep of your lives. He'll place everything in true in its proper place before God. Everything false, he'll put out with the trash to be burned." So it's not people who are being burned. It's an imbalance. So the taxman will collect your taxes, but don't take any more than that. And to the soldiers, don't bully people into doing your work for you or extort money from them. And share your food with the poor. And share your abundance with people around you. Because that's what balance is. Nature is balanced. Life is balanced. All things are held in a dynamic balance, meaning that it's moving constantly. But that balance is always changing. And there's a river of time that has been flowing from the distant past, which we can barely imagine, through all kinds of circumstances into the present. And it's going to keep on flowing in some way. But the question is, where will I be in that flow? Buddhism talks about the further shore, the further shore. So there's an idea here of moving between this shore, the shore of material consciousness, to the shore of cosmic consciousness, or consciousness of the one, or the oneness of life and love. And this shearing that John was talking about, this cleaning up, this cleaning house, is what God does with us as we move deeper and deeper into his life and less into our lives. So John the Baptist is an interesting character because he's the first prophet that Israel has seen in over 600 years. They had a tradition of prophecy. Now the prophet is the voice that God uses to speak his words through. The prophet isn't speaking from himself or for himself. He's given his life up to be God's instrument and to speak the truth that calls people back to balance. It's almost like a compass that points north. And we may realize, oh, I've been headed west. I've been overbalanced to the east if I'm trying to hang on to everything or trying to see for myself, get for myself before others. So it's not accusation. It's just, look at this, guys. The point of a human life is to move to the other shore. And that movement is the spiritual journey. And there are currents that flow through this river of time. Currents that move us toward one bank or toward another bank. Toward the one bank, we get carried by the current of Christ. As we follow him in the regeneration of the human spirit, in the regeneration of humanity. But there's a letting go involved in this, a letting go in which we release our hold on the conditions of the world, whether trying to get something or keep something away, whether trying to criticize something or get something to happen. There's a way of letting go that doesn't mean we're indifferent, And it doesn't mean we're identified with the circumstances of this world. In fact, we're far more conscious and compassionate when we let go, because we have found for ourselves what John the Baptist was indicating. John the Baptist says, I, and Jesus says of him first, he's the greatest ever born of woman, greatest born of woman. And John the Baptist says, well, I'm not even fit to untie the latchet of his sandals. So here we've got John the Baptist coming up, born of woman, and down comes the Christ. And the Christ looks at John the Baptist and he says, greatest thing born of woman. And John the Baptist says, I'm not even fit to untie his sandals. So there you have that moment of exchange between the outer man and the inner man. The voice of the prophet is in every single one of us all the time. It's the voice God uses, called the still small voice, to guide us and lead us. Now, our personality may find this objectionable and our whims may govern us. We have the right to let it be that way. But John is representing something in us that each of us has called the nous. The nous, the higher intellectual center, the higher mind, or sometimes we in the work of inner Christianity call it greater mind. And so greater mind becomes available to us when we finally catch on to the dynamics of politics and commerce and the things of the world. Greater mind figures it out, you might say, or sees, oh my goodness, this isn't going anywhere. These things I'm holding on to are going to be torn away from me. That's the highest the intellect can figure out. It sees that there is always and only change, and it can say, as John said to his disciples, repent. Turn around. You're looking the wrong direction for your good. It's in your heart already. The one that's coming will live your heart and baptize you with the Spirit. So John the Baptist represents us, our intellects, at the best state they can get to. There's nothing for me in the world that I can hang on to, and there's something inside that's hanging on to me. And so when the Christ comes, the Christ in us is light. Light is consciousness. And consciousness is what's being born at Christmas in the person of the little Jesus. Divine consciousness is entering into human consciousness, being penetrated like a little comet that came in and hit the earth, being penetrated by the presence of God within human beings, that John the Baptist says, I'm not even close to him. So what he's telling us is that even when we're at our smartest, even when we're doing our practice every day, even when we've got it made, our idea of what's good is incomparable to the good that is waiting within us. They are in different dimensions of existence. So John the Baptist is the herald of that good, and he's in us. He's the voice in us that's telling us, let go, you can let go. Others have let go before you. Faith will take care of you. Have no concern. All the angels always said, what, remember what the angels say when they come? First thing, fear not. Well, I don't know if I could shit fear not. I'm going to bleed the angel or my conditioning. Fear not, says Jesus. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Well, I don't know. I'm going to believe Jesus or the news. See, this fear, it's optional. This doubt that we live in is optional. The birth of the Christ in us will outshine all our former reasons for being afraid. The presence of Christ in us will shine so brightly that the confused and cloudy minds with which we react to politics and world situations will be enlightened and given a whole new way of seeing and experiencing everything. The reason the liturgy brings us around to these apocalyptic things and these stories of John at Christmas time every year is because it's inviting us to become aware that the cosmic influences at this time of year, in the play between dark and light, the cosmic influences are right. for you and I to let go of the old self that has been hanging on to its own good, too bad about you, and start to work against our unbalanced conditioning. Start to realize that the other guy is in God too, and that God is in the other person. Whether that person is our spouse or our child, a parent or someone we just see on the street, God is in the heart of that person. And God is their source, and God is our source, and sometimes God will use us to gift people. Maybe with a kind word. Maybe with eye contact and genuine listening. Maybe with money. Maybe with a real caring. But the point is that the gift of getting out of ourselves is the most unappreciated gift of God's whole offering to us. We want to take the self with us. We want to make it a better self, a superior self, a transcendent self. But you know what? The things we're holding on to are keeping us blind and separate. As we open in trust to God, realizing that it may be safe, He may be telling the truth, that God may be real, we find out to our amazement, oh my God, you are real. You're present, you're thick, you touch me with your spirit, you move me, you teach me, you reveal yourself to me in countless ways. Why didn't I do this before? Or know the truth? I wasn't scared enough before. And I don't mean scared in the sense of, I mean, oh my God, this is serious. This is my soul. This is my life, the thing, not little life. That's where you hang on and be mean and rude and things like that. Little L life is nothing. Big L life is the whole enchilada. And at Christmas time, we're being offered a chance to see insightfully into the cosmic spiritual process, the journey from one shore to another, by immersing ourselves in the Christ current, by immersing ourselves in the Christ's consciousness, in opening ourselves to the Christ, and calling to the Christ, reveal yourself to me as you have to so many. Bear yourself in my life if you've borne yourself in others. I realize I can never get perfect by the attempts I make to fix things and get them all right. My life depends on you. I mean, look at each of us right now. Nobody remembered they were breathing till just this second. Heartbeat, on and on and on goes the life. Well, we think the little L life is ours. It's not. There's an innocent babe that wants to be born in the manger of your body, in the ordinary manger of the human body, where the animal life exists alongside the cosmic and Christ life. In the straw of ordinariness, the real has come to earth, and it invites us all to become real human beings at Christmas. It's all backwards from what it looks like. Looks like we're protecting ourselves when we're afraid, and we're not. God will take care of it if we give ourselves to God. Amen. Let's stand and sing.
So this is the time in our service where we practice centering prayer together. To prepare ourselves, we become aware of the chairs on which we're sitting and the support that they give us. And we accept that support and let go. And relax. And open. Relaxed, open, and alert, we allow our attention then to move to the center of our being, the heart, the seat of life, the seat of divine love. We practice at this time letting go of self and of concerns of self. We practice surrendering to divine love. We die for a moment to open to Christ. And as we rest, we listen to the words of the psalmist. The Lord is good and upright. He shows the path to those who stray. He guides the humble in the right path. He teaches his way to the poor. His ways are faithfulness and love for those who keep his ways. Lord, for the sake of your name, forgive my guilt, for it is great. If anyone is in relationship with the Lord, he will show him the path that he shall choose, and his soul shall live in happiness, and his children shall possess the land. The Lord's friendship is for those who know him. To them he reveals his love. And now we open to the Lord as we rest with the Beloved in centering prayer. And now taking what we have learned and heard in truth, and holding our own experience in Christ, we dare to pray with confidence as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
This is the time in our service when we share our tithes and offerings with the church that serves us. And we do it in the spirit of God's presence, His love and His endless and infinite supply for every particle of His creation. Taking our tithes and offerings in our hands, we bless them with our knowledge of reality. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. Let's know the truth together. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And we are so blessed when we simply remember God. Amen. Awake now to the poverty that makes us spiritually rich. We dedicate these tithes and offerings to the victory of consciously chosen love in each of our lives and on our planet over the lie of separation and our useless acting out from fear. We pray this in Christ. Amen. The arrival of Christ on this earth signaled a whole new beginning for human beings in their understanding of reality. What changed was the realization that even the material creation is holy and sacred, that even every atom, every molecule, every particle in all the planets and cosmos, the whole thing is the sacred manifestation of the living one. Cascades of light pouring out of the center of creation, creating all form, living every form. And the invitation is in this host that carries the Spirit of Christ, that we will discover in ourselves the life, with a capital L, that is living us, that we will be aware of the sanctity of our own human bodies. And in the cup, the reminder that there's been a covenant made with mankind from God's side, unbreakable, unshakable covenant in which everything is forgiven. It's all let go. And we can let it go now and move to that further shore while we've still got a lot of life to dance with God in. Let's join together and pray. Abba, we thank you that we know you hear us now and that we know you always hear us. It's you who are giving us words. you who are teaching us to pray, and you who are giving us faith to pray in, that lets us know and be certain that you always hear and answer when we ask. Abba, we ask. Pour out your Spirit on these elements so that we may recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and the blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let him communicate his body to our bodies and his blood to our blood. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and transform us in your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. During the night on which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which shall be given up for you." This is the body of Christ. When supper was ended, he took the cup, and again he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me." This is the blood of Christ.
Please join us in singing our communion song, Abba.
Thank you. Until our end.
Living and eternal Christ, we feel your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one in your mystical body, the true body of Christ. For the glory of God our Father, for the glory of his kingdom on earth, and so that our joy might be complete. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen. Let's stand for Amazing Grace. Thank you for helping us to understand how poor we are without your love, that we may have a real Christmas, and that all of us may remember to come on Thursday night. Amen.